It's good to see you all here this morning. We are taking time on Sunday mornings to go through the book of Exodus, and we're going to be in Exodus in chapter 19 today. We're glad to have some guests with us today, and hope you feel welcome here. But more importantly, that you feel like you can worship the Lord here in spirit and in truth. And that's why we exist, to open up the Word of God and to worship Him. Amen. We preach the Word of God around here. Amen. Amen. We want to worship Him with spirit and in truth. Amen. Good singing this morning. Good singing this morning. Just we were going to do one announcement. We were going to take family and individual photographs next Sunday. That has been canceled, postponed for a while, and we will get back with you when we put that back on the schedule again. We do have, however, a new hard copy of the church directory. And if you would need a copy of the newest directory, just let Mary Culp know, and she will get you one in short order. Right, Mary? Okay, very good. All right, Exodus in chapter number 19. I was going to read the whole chapter and preach a message to you this morning, but this morning as I was praying, God spoke to me in a special way, just about one verse of Scripture here in Exodus chapter 19. So let's all stand as we find chapter 19 of Exodus. I'm going to read the first 4 verses of Exodus chapter 19 to you and talk to you for a while about eagle's wings. Okay? Eagle's wings. Exodus chapter 19, verse number 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Look at verse 4 with me. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on what, saints? Eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And all God's people said, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time to be able to assemble this morning. We thank you for this day. And Lord, it's our desire to rejoice and to be glad in it. And Father, this morning I pray that you would just speak to us from your word, that your Holy Spirit would do his work in this place, and he would illuminate and give us understanding of the Word of God, and that understanding would sink deep into our hearts, minds, and souls this morning, that we would have maybe a greater appreciation, Lord, for the kind of God that you are and your everlasting love and care for us. And Father, this morning, if there be anyone here today who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation, that through the preaching of the Word, they would see their condition. They are lost. They are undone. They are without Jesus, without hope in this world. And your Spirit would do that work of showing them, Lord, through conviction, their need of the Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. And Father, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, because you alone are worthy, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. I grew up in Ohio, and the only time you saw an eagle was on paper or in a book. Sometimes you could go to a zoo and there might be an eagle display that was coming through at the time, but eagles were a rare thing to see as I was growing up. But then we moved out west and began to see eagles on a more regular basis. And for me, I find the eagle to be a fascinating, majestic, powerful bird. And I studied some on eagles before, and I know the kind of strength that they have, the way they can fly, and they can get on a thermal coming up from the earth, and they can just keep on rising up and rising up on that thermal, just soaring around, never flapping their wings. It's an amazing creature of God. Absolutely. And I read about eagles in the past, and I know this for a fact, that an eagle has the ability try to get this in your mind. To carry a limb in its talons that's between 3 and 4 inches in diameter. That's a pretty good sized limb. Pretty heavy limb. Matter of fact, they have some eagles' nests have weighed up to 1 ton when they were completed. And so you think about that and the work that goes into it. And then the eagle will lay in that nest, will begin to, because it's full of those heavy limbs, and there's branches and twigs that are beginning to be poking up into the bedding area, will start to lay some soft stuff in that nest, like leaves. Anything, even pieces of fabric that it finds, it will lay in that nest. Several years ago, we had for several years now a migrating pair of orioles that would come through and would nest in a tree adjacent to our yard in the month of June. And the mother oriole would be building this nest. And one day she was out in our apricot tree and she had found a piece of string that she wanted real bad to put in that nest. And I watched her for about 30 minutes try to get this piece of string untangled from the apricot tree so that she could build her nest with it. And eventually what I helped her out a little bit. When she flew away, I cut it away. So she came and got it later. And I'm sure she put it in that nest. But these eagles are the same way that they build these nests. And they pad the nest down with leaves and soft materials. There will be some feathers that come just from the eagles living in there. And that nest has the softness to it. It's going to have some warmth to it, some security to it, some structure to it. And then the mother eagle will lay her eggs in that nest. And there's going to be quite a long incubation period for these eagles. They're a little bit longer than like a chicken egg might be. And the eaglets will hatch and they'll spend in that nest about 100 days being fed and nurtured and taught by the mother eagle. And God says here about Israel that I bear you on eagle's wings. And I want you to understand this morning that the same God that bore Israel on eagle's wings is the same God who lifts us up on eagle's wings. And you go through the history of what God is mentioning here as He is in His great sovereignty and power and providence and omnipotence. He is going to deliver the people of Israel from Egyptian bondage that was some 400 years long. So generation after generation of Israelite had grown up as a slave people. They were helping to build the cities and the monuments of the Egyptians who were at the time the most powerful people on the face of the earth, the most powerful empire at that time in human history. And God had in His mind that He was going to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. I'm so glad that when God puts His mind to something, He completes that something. There's no struggle for Him. There's no wondering for Him. There's no fretting or pacing for Him. When God in His foreknowledge and in His mind decides that something is going to be done, we can just mark it down that something will be done. And there were some hurdles and some struggles to get over in order to send the children of Israel release them from Egyptian bondage and for them to enter eventually into the promised land, the land that God had set aside for them. Well, one of the hurdles was this, is that Pharaoh had no intention of letting the people go. He had no intention of letting the people go. Even though God had already raised up leadership in the form of Moses and his brother Aaron, and they had become the spokespeople, the spokespersons for the children of Israel, and Moses, because of his upbringing, was able to gain audience with Pharaoh and to plead for the release of the people. Pharaoh said, no, I don't want to let them go. And we read in the early parts of Exodus where there's this hardening. Pharaoh will harden his heart, and then God will in turn also add a layer of hardness onto his heart. So Pharaoh says no, and his heart is hardened in his own nature and his own self-will. But then God turns around and hardens Pharaoh's heart yet again. So we're seeing these layers upon layers of hardness being added upon the king of Egypt's heart
And the harder his heart gets, the more intense and the more stubborn and the more self-willed he becomes, that he's not about to let the people of Israel go. And God sends then plagues upon the people of Egypt. That presents a bit of a problem, though, because not only did the Egyptians live there, but the Hebrews or the Jews also lived there too. And so if plagues were going to come upon the land, can you see in your mind how that plague might affect everyone in that land? But it didn't happen because God was bearing them up on eagle's wings. And the Jews were living in an area known as Goshen. And whenever the plagues of Egypt came, no matter what the plague was, whether it was water turned to blood, whether it was a multitude of frogs, whether it was the murrain on the cattle or the boils on the people or the hailstorms or the thick darkness of night, God protected the people of Israel from every plague He sent upon the Egyptians. He was bearing them up on eagle's wings. I don't understand, Pastor, what this idea of being borne up on eagle's wings means. Well, what happens is this. Eventually, it's time for the eaglets to leave the nest. And in order to leave the nest, they have to do what? Fly. They can't hitchhike. They can't call Uber. Someone say amen. They have to fly and they have to go on their own. And so the mother eagle will urge these eaglets to go out of the nest, and they'll begin to try to learn how to fly. Well, they're only learning how to fly. There's no guarantees they'll be able to fly the very first time they try, right? And so they could go into a tumble or into a tailspin. But as that eaglet is going towards the ground, the mother eagle will swoop in under it and catch it on its back and bear up its young on eagle's wings. That's what God does for us when we are falling, when we are struggling. Anybody ever fallen or struggled in the Christian life? Yeah, amen. If you have a pulse this morning, you have struggled or failed in the Christian life. If not, your time is coming. And so God says, I'm going to bear you up on eagle's wings. And He protects the Israelites or the Jews from every one of the plagues that happens to the Egyptian people, including the last plague. It was the straw that broke the Pharaoh's back, in a matter of speaking, when the firstborn were taken. When the angel of death came that night and that firstborn child was taken from every home that did not institute the blessing of the Passover, observe the Passover in their home, in which the blood of the lamb, the lamb was slain, then the blood was put on the door, on the post of the door and the lintel of the door. When the death angel saw the blood, he passed over. And no death came to that house. And God was bearing up, again, His children on eagle's wings. Now they're leaving Egypt. The Hebrews are. Not only are they leaving Egypt, they have taken a lot of stuff with them. They call it the spoils of the Egyptians. Talk about loot, money, jewels, good stuff. And they are on their way out of Egypt en masse, about, they guess, 2 million people heading out of Egypt, heading for the promised land. But there was a hurdle between Egypt and the promised land. It was the small body of water known as the Red Sea. Remember the story? And the Israelites came to the Red Sea. They did what they were prone to do. They began to complain. They began to worry. They began to fret. And were sure that, they were sure that Moses had brought them to the Red Sea for them to die, because they could see on the horizon this cloud of dust coming. And that cloud of dust represented the Egyptian army bearing down upon them. And they knew that the Egyptian army did not have good intentions. They weren't coming to just get their stuff back. They were coming to get the people back and to take them back into Egyptian bondage. Maybe would have killed them. Who knows what would have happened. But God bore up His children on eagle's wings, and this amazing miracle happened where the Red Sea parted. I mean, the waters parted. There was a wall of water on either side, and the people of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They had been borne up on eagle's wings.
and they get into the wilderness wanderings a little bit, and they can't find water. And God says, well, tell Moses to smite the rock. And Moses hits the rock, and the people are get water from the rock. And they come to a time when the water was bitter, and they were so sad about the bitter water. And God showed Moses a tree, and Moses took that tree and put it in the water, and the bitter water became sweet. And once again, the thirst of the people was satisfied, again by the power and by the hand of God. He was bearing up His children on eagle's wings. And they got hungry. God said, don't worry about being hungry. I'm going to feed you with manna. With what? With manna. What is it? Exactly. And every day, without fail, God brought down manna from the heavens. And the people of Israel never wanted for food, never wanted for water, never wanted for sustenance, because the great God of heaven said, I bore you up on eagle's wings. That's what He did. And now here we come, and we're 3 months in. We're 3 months in, and this is what maybe, I'm going to preach this chapter again next Sunday, God willing. This is the chapter where everything changes for the people of Israel, because the Exodus is now over. They are going to go as far as they're going to go in the quote-unquote Exodus, and their odyssey is going to begin. Odyssey, that's the term I'm using. An odyssey is just a long journey, and with that long journey, there's some instruction that takes place. And their odyssey, they are going to learn a lot, and their odyssey is going to turn from just thinking a few days or a couple of weeks of walking into the Promised Land into 40 years of wandering right outside the Promised Land. And God is going to teach them day after day after day about what it is and who He is. And they are right now, they are come to a place called Mount Sinai. And they're going to spend the rest of the book of Exodus at Mount Sinai, chapters 19 through 40. God says, we're done wandering, we're done walking. Now we're going to take some time and we're going to learn something. The very first thing that God teaches them is this. These are my requirements of you. And He gives them a list of about 10 commandments. I said about 10, but it's 10, isn't it? It's 10 commandments, and they're being prepared to hear the law. Let's go back to this idea of being born up on eagle's wings. It's amazing to me that God is going to lead them through the wilderness for some 40 years, and their clothes and their shoes aren't going to wear out. I would love to find out where to buy those 40-year guaranteed shoes. Amen? Not just for me, but for someone I live with. Somebody say amen about that. Oh, yes. Absolutely. And God is bearing them up on eagle's wings. And as God works as an eagle in the lives of these Israelites, I want to show you a couple of verses also in our Old Testament. You don't have to turn there, but just listen. In Deuteronomy 32, it's talking about the workings and the ways of God. And in verse 11, it says this, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. There was no strange God with him. We're being shown here a picture of an eagle and how God can work like that eagle works. And the first thing that it says here is, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Remember I told you at the very beginning that she built that nest with those big, huge limbs, and there was twigs, and boy, it could be about 2,000 pounds in weight, about 4 feet high, depth, of a bowl they would make these nests out of. And she would, again, layer it with those leaves and the soft things and the feathers, so that when the eggs would hatch in those very young eaglets with very tender skin, just coming out of the egg, would find comfort and security in the nest. Well, now it's been about 100 days. and it's time for the eagles to learn how to fly. But the mother eagle knows this, if the nest stays comfortable, they'll never leave. Well, that's parenting 101, isn't it? If the nest stays comfortable, they'll never leave. And so she stirs up the nest, and with her talons and with her beak, she'll begin to remove the soft things from the nest. The feathers, gone. The soft fabric, gone. The leaves, gone. We're down to bare limbs and twigs now. There might be some thorns or some stickers in this nest now. And the eagles are realizing this. It's time for me to learn how to fly. I'm so glad when God is able to remove me from my comfort zone and say, it's time for you, Mark Hoffman, to step out on faith and to trust me. And sometimes I'll refuse to step out on faith, and so He'll make the nest uncomfortable. He'll turn up the heat right in my own comfort zone. Can I hear amen, please? And He has the ability and the power to do that. And so now these eagles are 100 days old. It's time for them to fly. The nest has been stirred up. And so what she'll do then is she'll fly to a nearby tree or a rock that she can perch on. And she will spread her wings abroad, showing the eagles, I want you to come to where I am. I want you to come to where I am. And they're going to have to leave the nest to get to where she is. They're going to have to leave the nest to get to where she is. And sometimes God is out there and He's saying this, come unto me. Come up hither. But we don't want to leave our comfort zone. Please say amen. At least nod your head this morning. We don't want to leave our comfort zones and to go to where God is calling us to, or to go to where God is leading us to. But don't ever forget this, that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And He's not going to go back on His call. And He's not going to take away His gifts. He's leading us all somewhere, to some point, in a spiritual realm, to a spiritual plane, yea, to higher ground. And He stands there and says, come unto me. He's showing us where He wants us to go, what He wants us to do. But we need to step out on faith and to trust Him and to go where He is leading us and to go where He is calling us to go where He is pointing us to. And if we won't go, well, He'll make our lives miserable. Miserable. I remember being very miserable in my Christian existence because God had called me to a place and I said I would go. But then I saw the hurdles and the torment and the turmoil that I had to go through to get there. And I said, I'm not going to go. I'll wait for the next bus. Somebody say amen. And when I said I wouldn't go, God turned up the heat to my comfort zone. And He put His heavy hand upon me. He said, oh, you like this nest, do you? And He kept pushing me down into the nest a little further and a little harder and a little bit more intense. You like this nest, do you? No, I don't like the nest, Lord. I thought I liked the nest. He said, then you need to go where I've called you to go. And the turmoils and the torments and the torture that you think you're going to go through, you just go ahead and take a step of faith and I will bear you up on eagle's wings. And you have the same things in your lives too. Where God's telling you to do something. When God's asking you to stand for Him. When God's telling you to tell somebody about Him. He said, I'm standing over here. My wings spread abroad. And you can't get my work done staying in the nest. So He stirs that nest up. And the eaglets begin to say, I want to go where the mother eagle is. And so they go out of the nest and begin to flap their wings. Can you see it? Have you seen the videos of these eaglets? I mean, they tumble. They do somersaults in the air as they're trying to learn how to fly. And you know, and you read about these things. And you know, I don't know how true this stuff is. But I read this about several years ago when I was studying this eagle thing many, many years ago. They said this, that to
to the knowledge of mankind, a mother eagle has never lost an eaglet that was falling to the ground. That's a pretty good retention rate. You know, my God has never lost one either. One of his sheep has never been able to get out of his grip. We're in his grip don't slip. Somebody say amen. He's never lost one yet. There's been some discouraged ones, yeah. There's been some miserable ones, no doubt. There's been some sick ones and there's been some weak ones, no doubt about those things. But when God determines that he's going to bear you up on eagle's wings, just like that mother eagle swoops down and saves her eaglet from sure destruction, the great God of heaven, with his everlasting arms, reaches down and he cradles us and he loves us and he keeps us close in his mercy by his grace, and he's never lost one yet. And this last thought, have I ever kept you long? It's found in Isaiah chapter 40. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, in verse number 31, the Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as what, saints? As eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God says, "I'm just trying to teach you how to fly. I'm going to go with you the whole way. You're not by yourself in this thing. You don't have to go where no man has gone before. I'm going to go with you all the way. Wait on me. But when I say fly, fly. When I say step out on faith, step out on faith." When Peter saw the Lord walking on the water, he said, "Lord, biddeth me to come to thee." The Lord said, "Come on. Step out of the boat." And Peter stepped out of the boat, and for a little while, he was walking on the water with Jesus. Until what? He took his eyes off the Lord. He saw the waves. He saw the storm. He heard the wind. He thought his life was in danger. He began to sink. But what did God do? He reached out his hand and he kept Peter alive. He even bears up his weak faith saints on eagle's wings. Amen. We do. We fail him. We tend to give up way too early. We're afraid to fly. Stepping out, I think stepping out for pastors and missionaries. Stepping out is for all people of faith. And for whatsoever is not of faith, fill in the blank, it is what? Sin. I want you to fly. I want you to step out. I want you to not be afraid of what this world might serve you. And if the world serves you an awful meal, a terrible life, a miserable existence, I will be there to bear you up on eagle's wings. Saints, if he can get the Israelites away from Egypt, the most powerful force on the face of the earth at this time, don't you think he can handle our hangnails and hang-ups? Absolutely. He wants to bear you up on eagle's wings. He wants to be your God. He wants you to stand under the shadow of the Almighty and bask in his presence. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve, and the kind of God we have the privilege of knowing this morning. Let's all stand. I hope the thought was encouraging this morning to think about God always underneath us, bearing us up on his wings. It is grace. In his mercy. You know, his mercies and compassions are renewed every morning. Every morning he says, "Step out and trust me. I will bear you up every time. You cannot fall if you are his dear child." Father, we thank you for this thought this morning. Lord, I do pray that it was clear and that it was helpful. And Lord, that it was encouraging to all of the believers who were here this morning. That thought of you as an eagle spreading forth your wings, as an eagle at times stirring up the nest to get us to go to the next station in our walk of faith. But Father, this morning, if there be anyone here who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, they've never known what it's like to step out by faith and to trust God. Father, they need to make that first step of faith, and by trusting you as their Savior, who will keep them and protect them throughout all eternity. And God, this morning, I just pray as we close this meeting down this morning, that once again the truth was able to be preached and we were able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, I just pray now as our thoughts are turned towards what we heard, Lord, that we would meditate upon these things, that we would carry them with us throughout this day and throughout this week to encourage us. And Father, please don't stop speaking and don't stop working. We need to be reminded of what a great God you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.